You are listening to the Port Pals Podcast with Peter, Donna Marie and Maeve. Let's go fishing for gossip, people.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Port Pals Podcast. Good morning, Donna Marie.
Good morning. How are you, Paul?
I'm good. Nice, bright, sunny day. First day at Cheltenham, hence the recording nice and early.
I forgot that was on. Not a huge fan of Cheltenham.
Do you know what? It's the only time of the year now, that and the Grand National, where I sit down, I watch the horse racing, and I place a few bets, and I have a few drinks.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's just a bit of fun. It's just a bit of crack. It's something I've done for years, so it's kind of just tradition at this stage. Even Maeve enjoys it. Even, like, she's not big into the horses, but she enjoys placing a few bets and having a few drinks and just relaxing.
I'm that person that still chooses, like, a horse based on the colour of its, like, the jersey.
Yeah, but which is funny because when you actually think about it, the jersey denotes the owner. So, like, you're going to have the same jersey in multiple races.
Yeah, I just go through it and I pick my favourite colour or my favourite name. And that's it.
Fair, listen,
that's what there I used to do as a child.
There are worse ways to pick horses, in fairness. There are worse ways to pick horses.
That's what I used to do as a kid when you used to pick your Grand National winner.
Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, though, it does remind you that summer is on the way. I mean,
it's 100%.
First coming.
Cheltenham is definitely the first sign of spring. It's always Paddy's week. We've got Paddy's Day next Sunday. We're almost at 2 weeks to Easter, or 2.5 weeks to Easter. The summer is coming thick and fast.
I feel like we've had more rain in March than we had in the whole of fucking 2023, if I'm honest. Like, it has not stopped.
We have had a lot of rain this month. It has been a wet-ass March. Like, did you say March comes in like a lion? And it certainly has this month. We've had cold, we've had rain, we've had wind. It's been pretty awful. But I'm looking out now at a lovely spring morning.
And that's nice.
Yeah, let's hope. Hopefully it keeps up till at least I go out and do my few bits and get back to the house. And then it can do what it wants for the rest of the day because I ain't moving off the couch.
I just hope we get a good summer. I feel like we're always a good summer. Like, we're old one now, this day.
Last summer was rubbish. We had about a month at the start of the summer, and that was it. It just rained all summer. So we definitely deserve one, because we're going to have killer tans when we get back from Florida. And I want to maintain that shit all summer long.
Stop. Who has time for sunbathing when you're in Orlando? No.
But you're just going to get a natural colour. Pal, if there was sun in this country,
I feel like you're in for a shock. I don't think you understand how little time you have to laze around in Orlando.
But you get colour walking around in the sun.
Yeah, you just get a fucking farmer's colour. Your arms, your face, that's about it.
Here, listen, if I take my top off one day, I'm going to look like fucking Usain Bolt. That's the fucking colour I got. Like, that's just... That's what happens. I look like a brown leather couch at the end of the fucking thing.
I doubt that.
You know me and my sallow Mediterranean skin, Pat.
It's well for you. I get sunstroke. Right, listen, let's get on with it. Because it was a calm enough episode. But I still have a lot to say.
It was a calm enough episode, but it was bubbling underneath. There's a lot bubbling under the surface.
Pressure cooker, like.
Oh, it's ready to blow.
I mean, let's start off with the emotional end of it. I'm not going to lie, I cried. It's not often Below Deck makes me cry, but I cried today.
It was the moment when Anthony and Fraser...
And Barbie, because Barbie did it as well. She came in and on. It made me cry. I'm not going to lie. It hit me straight in the fucking feels. And it was like early in the morning. So, yeah. I'm still a little bit.
Yeah, look, it is a pretty emotive topic. Like, I mean, look, this is March is always a pretty difficult month for me. I lost my mom 4 years ago. Within a month of that, I lost a niece, and then last year I lost my sister-in-law in the same month. March is
March.
not a good month for our family, and
Yeah.
I totally get, the vibes that Anthony was going through, because like it sucks, it's shit, especially losing a parent.
Yeah, I just feel like he would have rather be with his mother that day, like anybody would, you know?
Of
And
course.
then he didn't have anyone to say to him, you know, to pick up his slack from. You know, like if that was a member of the interior team or a member of the deck crew, you'd be like, you know what? You go on back to your cabin there, take an hour, go get a coffee, go get something to
Yeah.
eat. He didn't have anyone to do that for him. And I
No.
think that just broke my heart for him. I was like, God love him.
That's the unfortunate bit of being a chef, where you are a one-man band. You are a one-man department,
Yeah.
and that's it. There's nothing you can do. You just gotta either work through it, or
Yeah.
there ain't gonna be anything to eat. And at
I
the end
felt
of the
really sorry.
day, yeah, it is. It's a tough spot to be in. It is a tough spot to be in. Especially as it's only like such a short time. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? If it was, obviously these things do get a little easier to get through as time goes on. But first year, like, it's extremely difficult, and you could see it in him, like he was just breaking. But fair play to him. Look, he got his head down, he got his job done, and he got through it. Like, you have to give him props for that, because that is not an easy thing to do. So,
No,
like, fair play to him
100%.
battling through.
100%. He literally battled through and did what he had to do, and kudos to him for that.
Yeah, it's a very different side of Anthony than we've seen. Like, we've seen, like, I like him. I really do enjoy him as a personality. And he's like, normally he's very brash, he's confident in what he's doing. I'm not gonna say he's a typical French, because he's not. I find him a little bit better than that. I'm not a huge fan of French people. I don't think
That's
we've too many
the Guido.
French. Yeah, I don't think we've too many French listeners, so I don't think we're gonna offend anyone. But yeah, not a massive fan of French people, but he seems to come across a bit better.
Yeah, I like him. I like him, and like he's quiet. I mean, it's not much drama, and we've seen some serious drama in the past with chefs, like, so he just gets on with it.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
and I
I like
like
him.
that. Get your head down and do your business,
Yeah, and his food looks fucking amazing.
Oh, he's seriously world-class chef. A
Yeah.
seriously world-class chef. You see the food that he's putting out there. Like, I mean, how the fuck he produces that caliber of food in such a small galley is
That's
incredible.
good,
Like,
yeah.
it's
And it's a
and
good
on his
thing.
own.
It's a good thing he can't hear the guests at the table, because those guests were not short of fucking rude with that meal.
Oh my God, they're just the most ignorant people I've ever come across. They are highly, highly ignorant.
Do you know what pissed me off? Barbie was sitting there saying about her previous employment, and they were literally like to her, "Oh, you're at the bottom of the barrel and all that, you've hit a low point or whatever." But then when she said that she, you know, sold finance in Wall Street and all that, they did not believe her.
No, they thought it was a
You could
lie.
see by their
Yeah.
faces they thought she was lying.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Absolutely.
you fucking judgy bastards, like.
Yeah. But that's the
Very
problem.
judgmental.
That's the problem with people like that. Like, you're the bottom of the barrel. Well, what do you rate as bottom of the barrel? Because, to be honest, I wouldn't fucking piss on you if you were on fire, you horrible bastards. They're
Yeah.
awful people. Money does not make you the top of the food chain. It might in some measures, but the measure of a person is not in how much is in their wallet, because those people, they're down near the bottom.
Yeah, I think I'd rather just stay as I am financially for the rest of my days than have to become someone who's ruthless and arrogant and selfish and things like that. And I always find that with a lot of, you know, rich people, that they have to be extremely ruthless in order to get there.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the bit. Here's the rub, okay? I can go into work and I can work and I everybody has a different personality in work, and sometimes you have to depend on the job you do. I can leave that personality behind when I come home. They can't leave who they are in the business world, and they take it into their personal life because it just consumes them. It's all consuming, and they become the business person. They're defined by that. And they're just, that just makes them an asshole 100% of the time rather than 50% of the time, like me.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. It just turns me off people. It turns me off people. The minute somebody is like judgmental or rude and like literally making a tick out of her standing there, I'm like, you're fucking nasty. You're a horrible human. Like,
listen, pal, we're both around long enough that we've met these people in real life. We've met those guests. We've dealt with those guests at various times through our lives, and our opinion has never wavered on them. They just are what they are. We have no desire to be anywhere near people like that.
Yeah, and I've been judged by people like that. I've been judged because of where I grew up and how I grew up, you know, that kind of way. And then you come into contact with, you know, people who weren't raised in council estates and all that, and they do judge you.
100%. Of course they do. They automatically assume you're stupid.
They assume you've no intelligence. They assume that you're never going to do anything in your life. They assume that you grew up there, you will stay there. Absolutely. You know, that kind of way. And even when you do prove them wrong and do something in a career or anywhere in your life, they always come at you with an attitude of, oh, well, it's luck. It's just luck.
100%.
It's nothing to do with your work ethic. You were just lucky. And you should appreciate the luck, you know?
But you know what? When I was younger, things like that bothered me. And I always sort of set out to prove them wrong. And look, I turned our worlds upside down a couple of times and shit all over them. But now I'm at a point where if I met somebody like that now and they started judging me, I'm just like, that's your issue. I don't care what you think of me. I don't care what anybody thinks. They can go fuck themselves.
I wouldn't give a fuck now. I feel like what other people think of me is none of my business. I say that to the kids all the time. But I'm happy. I feel peace in my life, and I don't think a lot of people like those guests do.
No. If you're sitting there and you spend your whole time judging people, well, yeah, you probably don't have a peaceful life. And there is a certain irony in the fact that we have a podcast that literally judges people once a week. The irony is not lost on me, listener. The irony is not lost on me. But we do it for pure entertainment, for all you to have a laugh once a week. While, you know, we be the nasty people that, you know, so you don't have to be.
I don't feel that nasty. I mean, there are some podcasts out there that just go in so deep, and I'm like,
it's the rare occasion where, you know, we really care to someone
where it's warranted. We make our excuses and tell ourselves it's warranted.
Yeah, if we're making shitty, you probably deserve it.
Yeah. But moving on. Let's talk about the marriages within the crew.
Oh my God. Now, I have to say, these did surprise, they absolutely surprised me. If Kat had said she was married at one point, I actually would have believed it more than the other two, because she seems like the bit of a simple Sally who, you know, fucking the first guy that smiled at her out of high school, she probably married and it all fell to shit.
But Barbie's, I was kind of like, you know what? That has happened quite a lot, more than we know. You know, there is a massive percentage of relationships that did not make it through COVID. It was 100%. Fucking hard.
Absolutely.
Being forced to, you know, live with your significant other 24/7 under those circumstances. Not everybody survived. But so I kind of understood that one. But then Zandy, I mean, you've got Anthony, whose wife ran away with his uncle. And then you've got Zandy, whose father ran away with her mother-in-law and destroyed her fucking marriage.
Like, I mean, that is just so fucked up. That is just messed up. Your dad legging it off with your mother-in-law. Like, seriously.
Ruining your marriage. And they only last 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months. Like, literally, he had probably had some sort of 7-year itch. So they both probably had decided to scratch it for 6 months and in turn ruined both their kids' lives. Like, well, probably didn't ruin their lives, but at the time it would have felt that way.
Yeah, the romance of planning a wedding probably just got a bit too much for the two parents.
Jesus, yeah. Like, I mean, they were obviously a bit too involved. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, you usually keep the in-laws at a safe distance and maybe they come together on the day and once or twice before. But if they're in each other's pockets that much that they wind up fucking doing the rudies, like, that's a bit too much now.
I can't even sit there and say, like, imagine myself in that situation. I can't even sit there and say, oh my God, I'd say Zandy was, like, you know, sticking up for our dad. And he was like, who fucking knows? Because that is that much of a whacked out shit thing to go through. I can't even imagine going through it. And I've been through a lot.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine fucking Mad Mary running off with Tom?
Stop. No. Like, fuck on hell. Imagine Christmas dinner around our table. Jesus Christ.
No. Awkward.
Madness. Madness. She never said, but I kind of hope that, like, okay, she didn't make it with the husband, but I kind of hope she patched things up with her father.
Yeah, she didn't get into that. She didn't say, look, who knows? Do you know what I mean? You can't judge. That could go either way. That could be she just didn't say because she has, or she doesn't want to say because she thinks he's an asshole.
Hopefully she did. Hopefully she did. Life's short.
But a bit of a shocker, all right. It really was a little bit surprised. Yeah, it's crazy.
Whacked out. And then we had, like, I want to talk about Kat for a minute, okay? Because, I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for her. I understand she's a fragile human. But I do feel like she's just living in her own fucking head a bit too much. I mean, Captain Kerry was, like, amazing. I mean, amazing. He gave her a mental health break. He boosted her up. He took her out and, you know, he did this. And then that night, I feel like the girls went above and beyond. It was like, you know what, let's have a girls' night. It was from what we saw, it was a very inclusive night. They were all sharing their tales and all that. Then the boys came and then boom, she's a victim on the phone to her friend.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a part of me says she's not trying.
She's just in her own head.
Yeah.
Way too much. Paranoid. She must be paranoid. Maybe someone says something, or she's maybe two of them are whispering in a corner, and she just keeps it in her head and runs with it and puts herself into this state of paranoia, because I feel like it is paranoia at this stage.
I think it's funny because when we discussed having sympathy for her a couple of weeks ago when she told her tale and that, and I don't remember whether it was said, but I certainly thought it, that the sympathy's going to run dry pretty fucking quick. That we have sympathy now, that will run dry. And it has run dry.
In this episode, there was absolutely nothing said or done for her to feel the way she was feeling. Now, I'm not saying her feelings aren't valid, but at some point you've got to sit yourself down and say, just get on with it. I mean, they made an effort. We saw effort through the TV.
At the end of the day, Barbie didn't agree with her going. And she did suck it up. That's the thing. Like, I mean, she did make a few comments about there being a lot to do and she couldn't take a break. But at the end of the day, she didn't come out and say, listen, you shouldn't have gone. You know, you should have told him no. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. She didn't say any of that. She just let her go and let her come back and they worked their ass off and everything was fine. Do you know what I mean?
It was great.
And let's be honest. I'm pretty sure there was some creative editing done with how much. I always think that, you know, with these sort of scenes, 1 minute out and you see somebody still with the Hoover. They didn't still have the Hoover out with 1 minute to go. That's edited like that. There's no question. Yeah. It's the same as any of these cookery shows. Oh, you've 60 seconds and some fella still has a boiling pot on the thing. That was 3-4 minutes earlier. That's well served at this point. It's all for dramatic effect. Who the fuck thinks your man's pasta's still in the pot with 60 seconds to go when he could be plating up and then he presents this thing that could be at a Michelin-starred restaurant? Get a fucking grip. Do you think we're dick? Look, seriously, do you think we're morons? It's dramatic effect.
I like that. I'm full of sympathy. But then I reach a point where I'm like, oh, just shut the fuck up and get on with it. You're wrecking my head. And yeah, I feel like I'm reaching that point before now. I just think.
But people like that are draining. They drain you when they're in your orbit. It's draining. It's actually draining to watch somebody because it's a whingy attitude. And I don't do whingy attitudes. If you have got a genuine issue, work to resolve it. I'd be the first person to help someone work through their problem. But if you're not working through it and you're just feeling sorry for yourself, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, rest of us have shit to deal with too. And we're just getting on with it.
Like, she should have had a great day. If that was me, I'd be like, you know what? Today was a fucking great day.
The rest of that day would have been bored.
You know, I've had a great girls' night, a lovely chat. And now we're going to do a little bopping. To me, that's a great day.
It's an e-foil, Donna Marie. It's not a board. It's an e-foil.
An e-foil. I was looking at her on that and going, there's no way I could do that. I can't balance myself on a treadmill. Never mind, I'm one of fucking them.
You're looking to balance yourself when you're walking up the hallway. Like, I mean, let's be honest about it.
True story. True story. I'd be bouncing off the wall walking up the hallway.
And if the listener had seen you last Friday night, you were even more unsteady on your feet.
Let's not talk about last Friday night, please. Jesus Christ, I'm still not over. But yeah, I mean, stop. Look, now you have to put me into a weird place.
now Donna Marie is getting flashbacks of vodka shots, tequila shots. We had a little bit of a celebration for Donna's middle lad's birthday last week. And Things got rather rowdy, you know. There was shots. There was a lot of alcohol. There was a lot of sore heads on Saturday morning.
I was rattling. Like, I was literally rotten. I was septic sitting on the chair on Saturday. So, yeah.
Here, listen. Listen, the main thing is the 11-year-old had a great birthday party. That's the moral of the story. The 11-year-old enjoyed his birthday party. Doesn't matter what the adults got up to.
Oh my god, mother of the year. Stop.
If anybody out there works for Tusla, everything now, the child was in bed at a proper time and cared for at all times. Can we just reiterate that? All children were safe at all times.
Stop. Moving on. Anyway.
Talking of mother of the year, let's move on to I'm not going to call him father of the year. I'm not going to slag him like that, but let's talk about Jared.
Fucking hell. I mean, let's start with the small part. Let's start with the docking. I mean, it's not a small part, but my God, I had anxiety watching that docking. He makes it chaotic.
Could he not hear Kerry on the radio saying that it was the wrong side? Was he on the wrong fucking channel or something that he couldn't hear?
I think he just panics. I think he does be in a panicked state doing a docking. And when you're in a panicked state, you don't fucking hear anything. And everybody else feels your panic. You know, it oozes out. It was literally, I mean, any docking is intense to watch, even as a viewer. So I can't imagine what it's actually like to experience a docking as a captain or a deck crew, you know, because watching it on TV is quite tense. And every week, even though I know, like, it's grand, you know what I mean? It'll be fine. I still be sitting there holding my breath a little bit, you know. But to see that It's just chaos. Fucking chaos. Can you imagine what it's like as a captain to be blind? Like, you're completely blind to what's going on. You're relying on the communication. The last thing anyone needs is erratic behavior over the radio. And that's the one man who's not supposed to be erratic. I mean, we've seen captains in the past go apeshit at interior crew for getting on the radio in the middle of a dock.
Oh, 100%. People have nearly lost their jobs over talking during a docking procedure.
Yeah.
Which so I can understand from a safety point of view.
The one man who you're relying on to help you in safely is the one who's the problem. He's fucking manic. Like, he's manic.
Like, let's face it. This is why the captain gets the big bucks. Do you know what I mean? I am sure there are plenty of competent people who could steer the boat around out on the seas, know that the fucking wind is getting up, know to head back to dock, know how many shots you need in the water. At the end of the day, the big maneuvers on the boat is what the captain gets the big bucks for. Understanding it. Yeah. Knowing how to park the fucking thing.
He can't do it alone. Like, no. It's like a pilot, right? Because I talk about aviation because I was there. So it's like a pilot. They fly the planes. They get the big bucks and things like that. But they can't do shit without the team on the ground. You know what I mean? If the load sheet, if the fuel is wrong, if anything's fucked up on that load sheet, that can have catastrophic effect for him and the plane. So everything has to be perfect. Everyone has to be perfect in order for that docking to go well and to succeed.
It's a team job. Let's face it, yachting is a team job. It just so happens that the captain is the man in charge and he's the one who does the actual steering. But the people behind, everybody that has a role, their role is almost as important as his, because he's relying on every single one of them.
And if anything does happen to that boat, the book falls with the captain.
Absolutely. He's the one that's in it. He's the one in the paper for the boat crashing through the fucking dock, or answering to the owner why a $250 million, I don't know, but that's just a wild number, but a couple of $100 million worth of fucking super yacht is at the bottom of the bay. Like, he's
manic.
Yeah.
He's fucking manic. And you can see Kerry is getting frustrated with him now. You know, that kind of way. It's like he said about Sonny. You can tell Sonny something. She listens and she goes and does it. And I would imagine if Sonny didn't understand it, she would ask or come back and ask the questions. Whereas he is not listening to Kerry. You can literally see it go in one ear and out the fucking other.
It's a vacant expression looking back.
Smiling. Yeah, he's just nodding and smiling, nodding and smiling. All he cares about is getting out of that bridge.
Oh, yeah, you know, because he's uncomfortable. He can't handle, because he feels that that's a confrontation, and he can't handle confrontation except when he has a few drinks on him.
Yeah, so all he cares about is getting out of that bridge. So he's not actually taking in what Kerry is saying. It's not registering in his brain. And then he went out, he had over a drink, which we've seen him do before. And I feel like the panic set in. Panic set in, which in turn made him go at Kyle the way he did. I don't think it was anything really to do with Kyle's tobacco, although I'm an OCD head now. I swear, that tobacco, I'd be fucking, it would drive me mad. Like.
Yeah, but clean it in the morning. Nobody expects the captain doesn't expect the boat to be spotless the day after a crew night out. Like, I mean, let's face it, he doesn't. All he'll say is, guys, we need to do some cleaning today.
Clean this shit up.
Like, I mean, there's tobacco on the deck. Big fucking deal. The deck is probably still, it's going to have to be cleaned either way.
Yeah, but I don't feel it had anything to do with that. I feel he just began to panic because he realizes how fucked up his environment is inside it. Like, inside his head. I mean, he's just not able. He's fucking, he needs to go home. Like, he just needs to go home at this stage.
He's done. He has to be done now. He is a walking disaster area. Like, there's a certain part, there's a certain bit of me is a little bit like, It's uncomfortable watching it. I said this last week. It's uncomfortable watching a man fall apart on TV. I think he's dropped a whole new level now this week. I think the whole thing with Kyle is just, it's just a nonsense. It's picking literally the smallest detail and going after him. Not least because Barbie was making noise at Kyle. Like, I mean, let's be clear. Let's not fucking neglect that point.
Let's talk about that, because like, I feel like it was a lot to do with him not liking the fact that Barbie and Kyle were flirting.
Like, I mean, this would be like you like a girl in work. And then all of a sudden, you're the boss and you like a girl in work, but she likes some other guy, and then you punish that guy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. That's all this is. It's his ego is hurt now. His pride is hurt, and he's taking it out on Kyle. But he's doing it. He's not doing it the way, somebody like Gary might do it, which is, you know, put you on the shit shift. You know, you'd be scrubbing shit you don't want to scrub, which is a bit more subtle.
Gary does it discreetly.
Yes, and it's hard to even pick up on, but we all fucking know what's happening. But this idiot gets drunk and starts waffling about tobacco on the deck. Like, I mean, seriously, the deck has to be scrubbed. You're a clown.
I even feel like our conversation about him is manic, because that's all we get off.
Oh, yeah. He breeds anxiety. If I was around him, I couldn't work with somebody like him, because I would just be, I'd have to, Kerry was talking about having to bind and gag a guest. I would have him bound and gagged in the fucking hole.
He would have
hole.
Me on tenterhooks. I feel like he would have me on tenterhooks.
I couldn't work for somebody like that. I just couldn't. It's not in me.
The level of aggression, like with the alcohol in him, Fraser's right. It's a massive red flag. And then Kyle strikes me as the type of person who's, you know, a happy, go lucky, cheeky chappy. Until you push him.
Yeah.
Until you push him.
But Kyle wasn't even losing the head. He was perfectly calm.
Yeah.
He just maintained his composure. I'd have put him through the wall the second time he came in at me.
But I feel like, had Kerry not walked in, and had Jared just kept going and going at him, like,
oh yeah, he may look, everybody has a point. Everybody has a tipping point.
Fuck off, like,
everyone has a tipping point.
He literally did nothing. I mean, he would have lost me, or I would have lost it when he threw the tobacco pouch at me. I mean,
yeah, that was
I would have jumped up out of that bed.
Not nice. That was not nice, and I would have probably had words at that point. But definitely, there were several points along the way where Kyle maintained composure, where I thought to myself, I'd have had that idiot up against the wall by the throat.
Yeah. But even when he were out and they were having a few drinks, and Fraser was just simply saying, you know, let's, you know, mollycoddle the chef for a minute.
Yeah.
The way he reacted.
But I stay up 2 hours and he started getting all leery about it. It's like, it's not an attack on you, you fucking clown.
It's crazy.
He's a nightmare. And I think it's only the blessings of God that still have him there in episode 5.
Well, look, looking at the trailer for next week, I'm wondering, are we getting a double whammy?
We could well do. We could well see a double whammy next week.
Yeah.
Because, look, it's been well said on social media that there's firings this season. This is not a fucking spoiler. We don't have details. We're not spoiling anything here. It's been well sounded that there's going to be shit this season. And it looks like next week is going to be the first shots fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's a double whammy and one's fired and one walks, or, well, I don't know. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm really looking forward to next week. Next week's episode should be absolutely killer. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. And it will. I have no doubt it will. I'm like, the way it ended, you just know next week's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All that tension that's been bubbling, that bubbled all through this episode.
And the fact that the trailer for next week didn't show anything about how it ended.
Oh, no. It didn't. No.
Double whammy.
Yeah. So we will look forward to next week.
Yeah, fuck Cheltenham. My money is on a double whammy next week. What's yours?
Yeah, I think we definitely have one gone next week. Definitely have one gone, and it could well be two. It could well be two. But I personally don't think it's going to be a double whammy. I think the higher likelihood is one whammy and one walks.
Yeah, I do think one
I think
walk.
Jared gets fired, and I think Kat
Cat
walks.
will walk. Yeah, I
I think
agree.
Kat walks. I think she's at that point now where it's just all too much for her. And I think she'll end up walking.
My God, can
So
we?
exciting times, exciting times. We do have a small apology to make to the listener. We did promise a Summer House preview episode for the end of last week. Due to the aforementioned birthday celebrations, we found ourselves with a serious lack of time. We were unable to sit down and record. So we will, in our review of this week's episode, review last week's episode also. So you'll get a two for one on our Summer House review
Double
this
whammy.
week. So we will have a double whammy this week. And anyone that follows us on our socials, we'll know that our social media guru Donna Marie teased a little something yesterday. She teased that it's a big week for us, and it is. It's pushed out slightly longer than we thought it was going to be. So we thought
But there is a
maybe we're going to be
very,
able to. There's a very good reason for
very
it.
good reason
All will
for it.
be revealed next week. So stay tuned. It is still a big week for us, and this day next week, be sure to be tuned in. It's definitely the biggest thing for the podcast since we started, and we absolutely can't wait.
I'm buzzing. I'm buzzing.
Absolutely buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. So I think on that note, we'll leave it there, Donna Marie.
Let's leave it there.
So like, follow, subscribe across all our social media platforms. And we will definitely, despite it being Gold Cup Day, talk to you guys on Friday. We'll record early, and then we'll see you then, and catch you next week.
Bye.
Take care. Bye bye.